You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast and the flat is well and truly back after racing at Doncaster on Saturday to kickstart the turf season with the Lincoln. We also have racing on Townmore on Sunday alongside Ascot domestically and there's two Irish cards over at Cork and at Fairy House. You can hear every race live and in full on Racing Radio from 1:35pm on Sunday afternoon with Darren Owen, John Budden and Rory Delaghi in the studio. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair and joining me on the podcast today, Ollie Pimlott. How are you, Oliver?
A very happy flat season to you,
indeed.
Sam. But it's not flat season because that doesn't start for another month. Or is that the jockey's title or is that the flat season? I'm not so sure.
We don't want to get into that though, do we? Because we'll be going around in circles for a long time.
I blame Dale Gibson.
Most people do, particularly in this building.
Yes.
Yeah, most people do. Do you have a preference, either code, Ollie? Do you prefer the flat to the jumps?
I prefer the flat to the jumps. Most people prefer the jumps to the flat.
Yeah,
but
yeah, they do, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of these three-runner novice hurdles that we seem to be getting every week of the day. I would much prefer a 0-50 where there's 10 runners at Kempton, if I'm honest, Sam.
Really?
Yeah, I'm definitely in the...
in the flat camp?
Yeah.
So this is a very good day for you,
good
then.
Yeah, good day.
Yeah, very good day.
Take that, getting stuffed wouldn't make it a great day. But
no.
You know, I was excited this morning when I got up. Excited that it's back.
Good. We'll be reflecting on Saturday's action at Doncaster very shortly. For yourself, Ollie, how are the pointers going at the moment?
Yeah, not too bad. Two runners tomorrow at time of recording. It's the Middleton Hunt tomorrow.
Mm.
And I've got to run in one of the Yorkshire Classics, Sammy.
No,
it's not the Yorkshire Classic. It's a
Classic.
Classic,
right.
Called the Grimthorpe Gold Cup. So it's a big day in the Yorkshire point-to-point calendar tomorrow.
How many point-to-point classics are there?
I think there's three. Don't quote me on that, but I think there's three.
And do we usually see horses progress from these to
no,
runs?
No, they're usually
all... they're just all point-to-point?
Yeah.
Horses in general. Have you got a live chance tomorrow then?
He's got a chance of getting round, I would say. Perhaps not of winning.
That's half the battle, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Getting
just a
round.
Day out, isn't
yeah.
it? Just a day out.
Absolutely. Speaking of getting round being half the battle, we're only a week away from the Grand National as well, Ollie. Looking forward to the world's greatest steeplechase.
I don't need telling about that, Sam, because I've had my eardrums belted with it from the Wizard for the last 4 hours. And also, ever since Cheltenham finished and since the last Grand National.
Yes. Yes.
I've had Grand National history with him today as well. Did you know, Sam, that Lottery wasn't, in fact, the first Grand National winner?
Right.
No.
I didn't know that.
No, that's what the Wizards told me today.
Who was?
I don't know, some other horse, two years before, which was at a different track, but it wasn't official.
Oh, okay.
According to the Wizard. But that was a bit of Grand National history.
Very good.
You know, if you're doing a pub quiz, Sammy, tonight,
well
I know that's what you like to do on a Saturday evening because, you know, the pubs...
It'll be no help to me, Ali, because you haven't actually given me the name of the actual winner of the first Grand National.
So I can't remember what it was. You'll have to get the Wizard on to tell you.
I'm not going
to
get points for writing down not Lottery.
Yeah, but everybody thinks it's Lottery. Yeah. The Wizard says it wasn't.
Ah. Very interesting. Let's recap the action then on the flat at Doncaster. The first day of the turf season got underway with 2B winning the Camage under Ryan Moore, who rode the first three winners on the card and then finished second in the Lincoln. We'll get to that a little bit later on. We'll start with 2B, who's probably been a frustrating horse for many. He's got a very mixed bag of form to his name, but has always been capable of winning a listed prize.
Yeah,
perhaps not group class.
I think the fact that he's been out in Dubai and Maidan has actually helped him.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of these have been here. It's not been a cold winter, but it's been a lot of unhealthy animals at the minute. It was the same last winter with cold weather, then warm weather. The horses don't know whether they're coming and going. So,
right.
You know, he's been out in Maidan. You know, he looked a picture down at the start. And Ryan Moore, well, what more can you say? Mm. I think if he'd have won the Lincoln, Sam, I don't think we'd have been in a job.
No, we'd have been out on the street, I'm
afraid. With all those accumulators running up in the shops on... the former champion jockey,
yes,
of course, Ryan Moore. So, it's good to see him back. And for me, let me just make a point.
Yeah.
What Maidan's finished.
Yeah.
There's no European racing at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
why doesn't the title start now for the Jockeys' Championship and end on Champions Day? Or end the week after at Racing Post Trophy Day?
When does it actually start now?
Starts
the Craven
on Guinness,
meeting?
On Guinness Day.
On Guinness Day.
So you're missing the Craven meeting
right,
as well.
So it's the Craven's
that's,
not included.
That's not
either.
Included.
Right.
It just seems absurd to me.
We'll put the questions to Dale again when he's next on the podcast.
Okay.
But I'm sure he's got...
He'll just go...
I'm sure he's got his reasons for it. 2P then won the first turf race of the season, then the Cammage. At 2.25 then the Spring Mile Handicap, the consolation race for the big one. That went the way of Ballet Concerto for, again, Ryan Moore and Sir Michael Stout. Suitably impressed with his victory, Ollie?
Very impressed. Stout seemed to have his horses well forward at the minute. And just a trainer to note in here, Sam. He had a second and a third at Newcastle last night at big prices. And a third here at 25-1, Jed O'Keefe. Mm. His horses were down in the doldrums last year. One of a number of trainers who had the virus. He didn't have many runners at the end of the season. He gave them the time off. Got a lot of well-handicapped horses this year. Candelisa ran a belter today. He had a real nice horse run third in the maiden at Newcastle yesterday. Won probably by a group horse, the Haggis horse that won it last night at Newcastle. So just bear in mind Jed O'Keefe's horses. Say they had a poor time at the end of last season due to a virus in the yard, but a lot of well-handicapped horses, and if he's got the ammunition, he can get the job done, and he's not a sexy trainer, so you're going to get big prices.
Yeah, I'm told he's a very nice bloke as well.
Very nice fella.
From people who've met him. Have you met him?
I've met him once or twice, but yeah. I wouldn't know him.
Right, but I've been told he's a very, very nice chap.
That's the main thing, isn't it,
which, yeah, which exactly. That's what it's all about, Ollie. The third race then at Doncaster was the Doncaster Mile. That went the way of Cool Company again for Ryan Moore. Another winner for Richard Hannon as well. Stormy Antarctic looked as though it was going to be putting the race to bed. Ryan Moore clearly confident and clearly knew how much horse he had underneath him, because he took a long time to get Cool Company going. Almost too long.
He did, but he was... he won a short head.
Yes.
Could be half a length, two lengths, doesn't matter. He got him up. I thought Stormy Antarctic had it in the bag. I was keen on Stormy Antarctic. But it was just... He took his time, Ryan, didn't he? He thought, has he left this a little bit too long?
Yeah.
But in the end, he did get it up.
That's why he's one of the best, and why he's the best.
Why
Sam. He's well regarded. The very best in the world for you?
Yeah, definitely.
You think?
Yeah.
Better than Sumion, better than those guys in America, Herrera, etc.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was the third winner that Ryan Moore had on the card. He then finished second in the Lincoln, which is the feature race of the day.
This was some punt, wasn't it, on the second? No, this is us. 14-1 this morning, into 7-2 favourite.
Yeah, bookies were running for the hills, weren't they?
Yeah, beating the neck. And we nearly got filled in, didn't we?
Very, very nearly, yeah. It looked as though he was going to come and make it four winners on the card for Ryan Moore. And was eventually chinned by Bravery, who's won by a neck for David O'Meara and Danny Tudhope.
And this looks an excellent buy, Sam. $44,000 out of the Aidan O'Brien yard. Was fourth, I think, in the Guineas last year. Unexposed, only four.
Mm.
Looks out when he's got $62,000 back. So he's already paid for himself in a year's training fees. He could be very, very progressive, Bravery.
Yeah, definitely. And kudos to David O'Meara as well, because this is a horse who'd been running over further, generally, in Ireland. And he's...
Dropped him back to a mile. But I think they've got a very versatile horse, because he clearly stays further. Dropped him back to a mile today. He's going to probably take part in all the Group 1 races of a mile, you'd have thought now.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting where they go next.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the flat season well and truly back then at Doncaster. Anything else on your mind, Ollie, before we turn our attention towards the jumpers again on Sunday?
Just again, Sammy. We've got this great meeting at Doncaster today and tomorrow.
Yep.
I think the next turf meeting is Wednesday at Leicester.
Right. Yeah.
Why?
We seem to have this every year. The flat comes
back.
We've
got a glut of all weather meetings next week, but I think the next turf meeting is Leicester.
We have a little lull, don't we? There's another week or two until we see
so we
some
really
top class.
Going.
Yeah,
I know we've got the greatest race, as the Wizard will call it, on Saturday.
Yeah.
We do have
the
national meeting for 3 days, but we still should be having more turf racing now it's underway.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Either that, or just push the Lincoln back a couple of weeks, and then have the whole flat season starting together rather than having this Lincoln meeting.
Well, we did have Musselburgh actually start a few years ago, and then the Lincoln, didn't we?
Yes, yeah, that's true.
I just think there should be more turf during... Now the turf started, we should not have all these all-weather meetings during the week. Why not have it on the turf?
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Sunday's racing then. We've got three races over the obstacles picked out and one from Doncaster on the flat. We start at Ascot with the jumpers and we begin with the 230, which is a Class 2 juvenile handicap hurdle. Just shy of 2 miles is the trip. Nine of them go to post, and And a couple of these have potentially big futures, Ali.
Yeah, they do. No more so than Dom Perignon de Lys. I'm very keen on this top horse.
Partial to a bit of Dom Perignon, Ali? From time
to
time?
I would be if somebody paid for the bottle for me, Sammy. Not cheap old Dom Perignon. No. Obviously, we've got a couple of runners here who ran in the Fred Winter, Percy Street as well. He, of course, finished in front of Dom Perignon de Lys in the Fred Winter. But Dom Perignon de Lys didn't have the greatest of passages. I think he'd have been there or thereabouts. I'm not saying he would have won, but I think he would have been there or thereabouts in the Fred Winter, Dom Perignon de Lys. It was mighty impressive the time before we saw him. Another one who finished down the field in the Fred Winter was Dolos. He was unplaced. But of the two, I still think Dom Perignon de Lys is the unexposed one of the field. Obviously, he's got that form with Percy Street to overcome in the Fred Winter, but he had a lovely run, Percy Street, in that occasion. Silver Street's gone up another £7 for his win last time. But the thing about Silver Streak is, you know, a lot of these horses, we saw it yesterday with the runner that went to Cheltenham, ran down the field in the Supreme Novices. It takes an awful lot out of them, Sam. We're going to see that at Aintree next week, whether the form from Cheltenham stands up, because it, you know, it's, they're very, very tough races at Cheltenham. So that is my slight worry with Dom Perignon de Lys. How much has the Fred Winter took out of him? But because he had such a blocked passage, he wasn't knocked about when beaten. So for me, the 2:30 at Doncaster, going with the top weight here, Dom Perignon de Lys. Darrell Jacob teams up with Nicky Henderson.
Dom Perignon de Lys then, the selection for Ollie in that 2:30 at Ascot. We go to the 3:40 then, just an hour later on the card at Ascot. We've got a handicap chase over 2 miles to look at here. It's a class two, just shy of £30,000 on offer to the winner as well. Anything catching the eye here, Al?
It's another really, really tough race, isn't it, to get a handle on. We'll be 3-1 the field at least, I would have thought, when we price up. San Benedetto is the first port of call. It's won readily at both Newcastle, Miss Musselburgh and Doncaster. But I would just worry he's got top weight here, a mark of 150. I mean, this is, I mean, wouldn't look out of place at the Cheltenham Festival, this race. I know we've only got seven runners, but they're all fairly solid. And look at that, Sam. He's got 11 stone 12. He's got to give, you know, the next best in the field is Champagne at Tara. He's got 10 stone 11. Yeah. He's given a lot of weight away. Harry Compton, of course, can't claim now. I'm surprised they've not put one of the claimers on this Paul Nicholls and just took a bit of weight off his back. Sam Twiston Davies still takes the ride then. So I think if they'd had a good claimer on board and claimed 5, 3 or 7 off perhaps, I think it would have made his job a lot easier. So instead, I'm going to go with Clickwork here. He disappointed at Kempton last time, so I'm going with the other Nicholls runner. It looks the second string on jockey bookings, but Harry Cobden, no mean replacement. And you go back to his penultimate start, and the start prior to that, I think Clickwork would have took all the beating, getting that huge pull in the weights from San Benedetto. So Clickwork for me, the second of the two Paul Nicholls runners in the 3:40. That's at Ascot.
Clickwork gets the nod then in the 3:40 at Ascot. Just conversely, Ali, do you think Sam Twiston Davies will still be the number one jockey at the Nicholls Yard come next season?
Well, has there been rumours that he's not? I don't see any reason why not. Do you, Sam?
Sean Bowen's ridden the last couple of big Saturday stars for the yard, and there's been no obvious weight issues.
I don't think so.
No, you think it'll still be?
Yeah, I don't see any reason. What's Sammy done wrong?
No, nothing. No, I just noticed that Sean Bowen's been coming in for a lot of the bigger rides.
No, I just think. I mean, we knew the writing was with the wall with Darrell Jacob, didn't we?
Yeah.
A few years ago, but I don't see any reason why there would be a split.
Okay, one more race to come from Ascot, then we'll look at one from Doncaster. We go to the 4:15 now at Ascot, which is a veterans handicap chase, 2 miles, 7 furlongs ahead of these old boys. Got a field of 12 going down for it. We know all we're ever going to know about all of these, Oliver. Just a case of finding one to win this race.
Yeah, cracking. I mean, this is a cracking race, isn't it, for the veterans? Plenty of prize money on offer as well, just under 19,000 to the winner. And the one that most took my eye, Sam, of these old boys was Vino Griego, a course and distance winner. He reappears, have we not seen him since beating Pino de Grey, of course, the former national winner, in one of these contests at Sandown back in 2015. But he is reported to have had a wind operation since. Obviously, he's had a bit of a problem, 511 days off the track. But off a mark of 1:33 here, Sam, we know the Moore yard are in excellent form. Josh Moore, of course, had a winner straight after Ryan had a winner earlier in the afternoon. Three starts back, he was rated 1:46. I know it was quite a long time ago. Runs off 1:33 here for an in-form yard. Vino Griego, and there has been a bit of a rumour that he's had a bit of a tinker with his wind as well.
Okay. Vino Griego then in the Veterans Handicap
Chase. It's a bit of a double with champagne and wine we've got today. And Vino Griego, Sammy.
You're definitely your father's son, aren't you, Ollie?
Well, unfortunately, I think I am, yeah.
With selections like that, let's go to Doncaster then for 3:55, which is the final race on today's podcast. One on the level, a mile and a half condition stakes coming up here. It's a Class 2 event, and we've got 8 runners who line up for this race, so a nice each-way shape to it. What did you like here, Ollie?
Yeah, interesting little race. I hope they all go, because it's got a nice each-way look to it. Mm. Muntar, you would have thought, is going to be a strong favourite here. We last saw him finishing fourth in last year's St. Ledger. I don't think it was the strongest of St. Ledger's at all, if I'm honest. Perhaps didn't see out the mile and 6 furlongs, drops back to a mile and a half here. But for me, he's going to be on the short side. So I'm going to go with Frontiersman. He's out of Ouija Board, that great race mare, by Dubawi. And he looked progressive last season. He was well supported when he won at Newmarket on his penultimate start. A little bit disappointing on his last start. That was 162 days ago, but you can forgive him that. Had a long season, but he was well punted at Newmarket and he absolutely bolted in, say, 2 starts back. The Charlie Appleby team have started quite brightly with their runners. William Buick rides. Obviously, the ban doesn't come into fruition until the Craven meeting, unfortunately for him. We could have talked about that earlier because I thought he was dealt very harshly on that occasion. But Frontiersman, out of that great mare Ouija Board, say, if he'd come here on the back of that win at Newmarket 2 starts back, I think he'd have been quite near to favouritism with Munter Hart. He bombed out on that occasion, but I can forgive him one bad run, and he's one of the most progressive ones in the field. So Frontiersman for me, for Godolphin, Charlie Appleby and William Buick. That's the 3:55 at Doncaster.
Frontiersman, thank you very much, Ollie. 4 selections there then for Sunday's racing. Just give us a quick recap, if you would please, of your picks for Sunday's action.
2:30 at Ascot, I go with Dom Perignon Delice. The 3:40 at Ascot, my selection is Clickwork. The 4:15 at Ascot, I go with Vino Griego. And in the 3:55 at Doncaster, I go with Frontiersman.
Thank you very much, Ollie. Best of luck with the pointers tomorrow and enjoy the action over the next few days and weeks.
Thank you very much, Sammy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.